I will begin 2 seconds early because I'm very pressed for time today. Ready, Danny? I can roll? Yeah. Today is May 21st, 2012. It's Yisru Chag of Yom Yerushalayim. And I want to say Chag Sameach and a good nerev Reish Chodesh to all my students here, including Moshe, who fed me so beautifully for lunch. Although I have to say, you must have Mizrahi like Moroccan mouths by now. I never tasted such spicy food in my life. Everything was spice, but it was good. They had suda yesterday because I couldn't eat, you know, with everyone else. I was in Avelet, so the Moshe brought me food up to my office. And I want to say hello to all those listening across the vast expanse of the Jewish world, the Torah world. Just to catch up in some correspondence, I want you to know that, quoting Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Yosef Chaim Kasserler showed me that an article appeared in Tradition, Fall 1985, Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin on the drafting of yeshiva students, and he's even more extreme than I am. So Baruch Hashem, yesh al mi lismoch. I also want to mention a Talmud who listens to the Shurim, who's a very important rabbi in Australia, the head of the Chabad community. I yet knew his parents, knew him as a kid. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Telsner sent me a letter rebuking me that I evidently said, there's a few compliments, but a big rebuke here, that I said the sinners who stand there in Kiddush, and this is our P-Kabbalah and the Ari, but it's not fair, you understand. I'm teaching. When you teach, you got to shock students. If you recall, that's how I introduced it. You sinners who stand. By the time I got done, although I'm totally committed to sitting, but by the time I got done, if you recall, I said, do as your father does. I can't be any firmer than the Rav. But as far as the Kabbalah, what he touches upon is a very interesting question, which we dealt with when we dealt in the Sunday class with Rav Ovadia. That question comes back to haunt us. More has been published on it, the influence of the Kabbalah on the Halakha. And as a matter of fact, Reb Usher Weiss just gave a shiur last week on this very topic. So I apologize to Rabbi Telsner for offending those who stand during Kiddush, but take me with a grain of salt when I want to shock the class, as I did yesterday with kissing the television. Believe me, after that introduction, everyone listens to the lecture. My student, Rabbi Isaac Rice, who is in the Kollel and is in the States today, writes to me about Das Torah with the Malbim, Devarim 18:14, and how a Jew can determine his own decisions by learning Torah. He can understand what to do. Yes, we don't disagree with that. But where we do disagree is, if you look at the Malbim uses the word with the Siyata Deshmaya. And our point of view is, based upon the Rav, of course, and Chamesh Drashat, you can have the best intentions in the world, but what if there's no Siyata Deshmaya? What if there is Hestapanim? And that's why you constantly have to reevaluate. And this is what Das Torah, pro and con, is all about. And then he talks about Mordechai and Esther, and Mordechai's whole program to save the Jews, and he quotes the Gra to me, Ein Esther Magidat et Molat Ata. And of course, this is absolutely right. The Rav gave a whole drasha on the difference between Mordechai and Esther, between a man and a woman, between someone who can have wonderful plans, and how it's carried out. The man specializes in one aspect, the woman in another. But one thing is for sure, that if you don't have Siyata Deshmaya, if God wills otherwise, you have to shift gears. And that's critically important. And you see it in the Haredi world. I mean, you see, just one more word in Das Torah, is right now, if you watch the Haredi world, two major decisions were made, in my humble opinion, both absolute Chilul Hashem. And what am I talking about? Agudat Yisrael, here they're having a committee, which is meeting today, by the way, to decide on the future of Chok Tal and how to work out equality. And Agudat Yisrael is not attending. They're boycotting. Who are you boycotting? What are you boycotting? It's our future. You're part of the country. You're a Jew. Shas, for reasons that I cannot comprehend, are so subservient to the Litvish Gedolim. They're not attending. We're not attending. So watch what happens. This is beyond words. The Asifa, let me pronounce it right, in I understand they had tens and tens and tens of thousands. You go to the internet, you see endless pictures of Citi Field covered with black noon. Did they mention Yom Yerushalayim yesterday? Tell me, where are we at? What was yesterday? What was yesterday? If not Yom Yerushalayim, how many Jews do you have here? 6 million. What a sight. All those young boys and girls dancing to the Kotel in rap, the boys wearing the Israeli flag around their shoulders like a talit, the girls carrying flags, and it's overwhelming. Where are we at? Okay, this is the difference, Baruch Hashem. Believe me, there are biggest... There are biggest candidates to become good Jews, Baruch Hashem. And Rabbi Rubin just fell into a trap because I thought I had said, you missed everything already, Yosef Chaim, you gotta get here on time. I already spoke to Rabbi Rice. And furthermore, I have to tell you, I don't understand, I've studied biology. You have children. Your son looks more Sfardi than you do. Can you tell me how you do it? Your wife is Ashkenaziya. Your father's wife is Ashkenaziya. Your grandfather's wife is Ashkenaziya. And the children come out, a dot come Mizrach. I looked at his son, yes, I couldn't believe it. Yosef Chaim, Baruch Hashem. It shows you that those Mizrahi genes went out. And just to end off, because I have a world to do, Yitzchak, I thought I had such a big kiddush from the Rambam, Hilchot Mamnim. I got a call from, the more you talk, the more you're cutting off your tongue. I got a call from Chicago. They told Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, my shir, Rav Moshe, what's up? That's a kiddush. I've been saying it for 20 years. The Charedim Atinoket Shenishbu. Don't call it my kefet now. Quote Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Ben Rabban Soloveitchik, Ben Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Ben Rav Chaim Briska, Baruch Shekivanti Ledas Gedolim. Let's roll. Gentlemen, the rabbinate today has two tremendous problems. One problem I will talk about, one problem I can't speak about because it hurts. The homosexual problem, and I'm not, I didn't realize, but both rabbis, Bednash and now Rabbi Schwartz, Rabbi Ezra Schwartz, right? That's his name, visiting from America, the Mashkiach or the Bochim. He's a big Talmud Chacham. I know his parents, father, Kami Schwartz, outstanding people, told me that the problem is overwhelming. When Obama came out in favor of homosexual marriages, the President of the United States, this is planting the seeds for the destruction of humanity, in my humble opinion. Toeva, abomination. Man, the New York Times on Sunday, a woman marrying a woman, some important woman, God have mercy. Look up the Midrashim, look up the Gemara in Sanhedrin, look up why there was a mob, why the world was destroyed. It's very frightening. I'm told that a petition came out against the OU and the Agudat Yisrael for denouncing Obama, signed by so-called 800 Shomer Shabbos Jews. Among them, Talmidim of mine. Among them, endless rabbis. And I have to tell you, this is the tremendous struggle. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. What is religion all about? Are we Jews or aren't we Jews? Are we Jews or are we French? When I spoke about yesterday, Napoleon Sanhedrin. And we all, with all of Am Yisrael, I can assure you that there are so many Shomer Shabbos Jews today that have very little part of the second Brit I spoke about, the Brit of Klal Yisrael, Am Yisrael. That makes us unique, it makes us different. It's why the world hates us so. because we're a different religion. We're not Protestants, we're not Catholics. It's a different concept. Yachid v'klal. And 800 Jews. Now, my simple attitude, and I think this is the only attitude a Torah Jew can take, and I heard this word by word from the Rav, long after I said it, I heard a tape of the Rav from the 1970s when the problem already comes into the arena, and I hear the Rav say just what I said in class. No one wants to harm a homosexual. No one wants to hurt a homosexual. No one wants to embarrass a homosexual. But we cannot say it's normative. Underline the word normative. And I have spoken with endless psychologists, talmidim of mine, not talmidim of mine. There's a homachlekes ha-poiskim. Can you cure a homosexual? Can't you cure? I think the proof is very simple. Most can be cured. It is not a physical problem as much as a psychological, emotional problem. And I've had students who've had the problem. I can't go into detail. I can explain to you textbook cases. An overbearing mother, a child from a family where they were all daughters, and he was the only son, the youngest kid is a boy. And I've seen the problem. It can be helped. There may be people who you can't help. Could be. I'm not in Amaritz. The Gemara talks about a tumtum and not a dragonus. You all know what I'm talking about. Could be that people you can't help. But for us to make it acceptable, you're destroying the world. Because each time another rabbi comes out and says we have to change our viewpoint and open up and be accepting, etc., etc., so you have another 100 young men who will not seek help. It's normative. Why do I have to seek help? God have mercy. Man, woman. It's not the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world. It's a to'eva. And this, I can't believe that within Orthodox Jews, this is a problem today. This is a discussion. 800 so-called Shomer Shabbos people, all right. They are very distant from Torah Hashem to me. But yeah, you can be a Shomer Shabbos, you can put on tefillin, you can daven three times a day. But the concept of surrender, of what Torah is about, Gedolei Yisrael, Mesorah, Mudat Chachamim, taking a pasuk in the Torah, throwing it out. Right, that's a problem I can't speak about. I think that's the only approach. I don't think there's a machloket here. You can't. No one wants to harm a homosexual. We're not executing Mechalalei Shabbos today. You all know I've given shirim over the years. Again, everything I say, I'm an amaretz, I'm a boor, but at least I had a great rebbe. Everything I say is the rav. Either I heard it from the rav, or later I'll hear what I said, because that's a rebbe muvhak. When you speak like your rebbe, even if you didn't hear him, oh my gosh, this is my vort, the rebbe is saying it. This shows you're on the right track. This is the approach. But chas v'chalila, to make it normative, that's the crucial word. And I just spoke with another psychologist within the last 48 hours, and thank God, this is a man who has counseled people on to 30 years already, if not more. And I know some of the cases he has dealt with. He has a sterling reputation. And his attitude is word by word as I explained it. But the real problem, which to me is the real problem. Yes.
What should a rav or a teacher do or a rebbe do on a personal level?
On a personal level, you have to be very comforting and refer the young man for professional help. You are not a professional. You have to perform, and I have cases where I did that, and all the cases I handled, two were total success. One I would say was 50-50. He did marry, and it was fine, and then the marriage broke up. And I have to tell you, to the credit of his ex-wife, who remarried very happily, the world was so angry at her. Why did she divorce him? You know, he's such a nice guy. She never told anyone. I found out. He told me 2 years later. And I went to his ex-wife. Well, she was not my student, but her sisters were and her brother. And I apologized. I said, the whole world was angry at you. I said, I stand in awe of a woman who wouldn't say one negative word and kept it to herself. You understand? I want to spell it out. So that's the way it has to be handled. It's like Peter, like what's going on. Again, I can't believe what's going on in Australia. You don't know what they're doing. There was a Jew in Australia, Rabbi Groner. I can tell you that Rabbi Groner built all of Yiddishkeit in Australia. I can tell you that Rabbi Groner, whom I knew personally, his nephew, who we just buried, was my best friend. I mean, what are we talking about? Rabbi Dr. Professor Tzvi Groner is the only guy I could fight with all day, and at the end of the day, we were best friends. And everyone would say to us, how can you two guys be like that? He's a leftist, you're a rightist, this, that. I say, because ultimately the halacha wins out. We both surrender. Baruch Hashem. You don't know what Rabbi Groner did. He built Australia. Not that he was a Talmud Chacham first rate. I once sat with him in Melbourne. We're sitting together, schmoozing, laughing, telling jokes. You know, during that 2 hours, Shiloh after Shiloh came into him, and I'm listening to the way he poskens. He was a posek mufak. Mamish bucking in shas and poskim. Marit nida, which I would never do because I didn't have shimush. They're bringing in a minute he poskens, in a minute he poskens. No. They had a pedophile in the school there. There's now a trial going on. Why didn't Rabbi Groner tell the police? And you don't understand, it was a different era. I tell you myself, I've told this before, let me say it publicly. In the early 70s, there was a Talmidah of mine who comes to me with tears. We sit down in the teacher's room, because I never wanted to be alone in a room with a student, a female student, whatever. It's not api halacha. Api halacha, leave the door open. Today you have to v'yitim the kiyum. So she tells me this Rebbe came on to her sexually. So it, and I took care of it. But I criticized myself 40 years later. He made a terrible remark, though. She was a pretty girl, or whatever. She was a very dark girl. If you like the dark girl, she was very pretty. I'll put it that way. But this maneuver with the beard and black, it shattered her. Baruch Hashem, she's makira tovin till today. But think for 1 minute, did I go to the dean? It never dawned. That's what they say about Rabbi Groner. You never thought of going to. I didn't go to the dean. Today, if I was teaching in Machon Gold, you know, if we could bring back what was 40 years ago, and a manubal said something like he said to this girl, I would go to the dean and I would say, either he's fired or I resign. Understand, it's a different time today. But these problems, what happened to us? A Rebbe who teaches Torah comes on to a student, a male student. You know my word, I cry, but it's true. Again, I've told you a million times, but I repeat it. When a scandal broke in Michalá, a terrible story. The girl, if you recall this, the big investigative reporting piece in the Yediot, the faculty member who saved the girl's life, happened to have been my student in the 70s. So I come back from the Kotel, very depressed. And I'm going to my daughter and my grandsons, who are not stupid, say, Saba, why are you so upset? At least it's a man and a woman. I said, now I'm doubly upset because you're right. You understand? It's indicative of where we are. Where are we? But it shows you again, Yeva Toshav, our sexual standards are totally influenced by the outside world. And you remember my thought? We used to go to the Rav. Every 10 years, a committee went to the Rav. Why are we learning Greek mythology? Terrible, schmutz, narishkeit, garbage. And the Rav would say, what, you don't want to know the foundations of Western civilization? And throw us out. And every 10 years, my time they went, the students of mine went, I heard when I was living in Israel they went, it always repeated itself. So I once got up in front of an audience and I said, the greatest gift I have in my life is that I learned Greek mythology. Suddenly, 300 people are jumping forward. I said, without Greek mythology, I could not understand the Western political situation. What's Greek mythology? The gods did every sin under the sun, robbed, stole, plundered, raped, seduced, right or wrong. Well, if the gods can do it, every citizen can do it. Baruch Hashem, President of the United States, JFK. You know what went on with JFK? The White House pool with Secret Service standing guard? Bill Clinton, Tzadik Yesod Olam. Just think. Obama today. It's beyond words. Time magazine went after him. Kol HaKavod. Right, it's Time or is it Newsweek? Newsweek, excuse me, with the halo. So you see, Greek mythology, but it's very sad. And I can't talk about this topic because someone who says Kriyat Shema and you're Shomer Shabbos and you put on tefillin, your sexual standards have to be on a Torah level. And I can tell you what. And the Rav got very angry. Whenever you quoted the Gemara in Nida, Amar Rabbi Akiva, I gave lectures on this years ago in the Kollel. Rav got very angry. We don't observe Torah because of its benefits. But I have to tell you, it's absolutely true. A Torah marriage, there is such sympathy, empathy, coalescence between a husband and wife. The Rav once gave a Merit Dekespet for Rav Velvel. You know, Rabbi Lichtenstein considers that the greatest piece the Rav ever gave. Your humble servant says no. The Chesped on Rav Chaim Heller was great, of course. It was the heart of Yiddishkeit. That was bris. But Rabbi and I have a machloket here. You can take your pick. This machloket doesn't matter. So Rav Velvel said, the Rav said on Rav Velvel, what's the difference between Rav Chaim, Rav Velvel, and all the other Talmidei Chachamim? He said it's like engagement to marriage. When you're engaged, the Rav, I'm quoting the Rav, when you're engaged, you talk endlessly. There you go, you talk endlessly. When you're married happily, a husband and wife, one word, they understand each other perfectly. One motion. He said, ah, the Gedolei Yisrael were engaged to the Torah. They had to talk a lot. But Rav Chaim, one syllable. He said it all. He was married to the Torah. It's a meritic vote from the Rav. It's absolutely true about marriage. And it's the whole relationship, and it hurts. Okay, now, women's lib, this feminism, is an ongoing problem. It's a production in motion, if I may call it that. And I have to tell you, some of our so-called Orthodox rabbis have become exactly like the conservative rabbis of the 20s and the 30s. I can tell you in my research, I was there, but I wasn't there physically, but in my research I relived it. I experienced it to a certain degree in the Rabbinate. I went into the Rabbinate in 61. It was a different world. You had the Orthodox shul. The first generation were greenhorns, Yudapeyesha. Many of them worked on Shabbos. But the shul had to be a shul. It's like Chaim Soloveitchik's ingenious comment in Rupture and Reconstruction, that the shuls in Boston on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there were very few Shomer Shabbos Jews, if any. But the davening was infinitely more than you find in a young Israel today, where everyone is Shomer Shabbos. They knew how to daven. It was part. They were from the old home. They knew what Rosh Hashanah was. They knew what Yom Kippur. Today, we're 3-4 generations removed. What do we know about a real davening? Conservative would come in. The kids already were Americanizing, going to college. Women were going to normal school. That was teachers' training. My mother was a graduate, a teacher. It's a very big thing. Which woman went to college in those days, Jewish or non-Jewish? And they'd come into the synagogue, English-speaking conservative rabbis. If you will elect me your rabbi, we will take down this partition that separates husband and wife, father and daughter. Why do we need a partition? Women today are allowed to smoke in public. You've come a long way, Virginia Slims. Danny, you know what I'm talking about, or you're crying wolf? Which is it? Well, go and explain to him, Virginia Slims. Okay. Today, I want to show you, and I could show you many more. A blog went all over America, Davening Among the Loyal Order of Water Buffaloes by Rabbi Zev Faba. Now, I have to tell you, when I was first told about this, I thought it was my student. I don't want to mention his name, it's a similar name. Thank God I checked out on the internet Yeshivat Chovevei Torah graduates, and I can't believe how many graduates they have. And they all look frum. Zev Faba looks like a Talmud Chacham, a frum guy. He grew up in Florida, BA in psychology from Touro, MA in Jewish history from Hebrew University, studied many years in Yeshivat B'nai Torah, Far Rockaway, whatever that yeshiva is. And it goes on and on. Married to Chani, two daughters, Eden and Orly, and studying for Dayanut, Halachic judgeships, etc., etc. Gentlemen, this is the quote of Rav. We're cutting off the branches of the tree on which all of tradition rests. You know what the reference is here, the water buffaloes? It's very simple. The only TV programs we're allowed to watch are The Honeymooners, and of course The Flintstones, which was based upon The Honeymooners. Those programs, Baruch Hashem, no sex, no violence. The Honeymooners, classic of classics. So of course, they have the Royal Order of the Buffaloes, am I right? Whatever they call them, and the Honeymooners, they put on those coonskin hats. It's fabulous. They all become Hasidim, and they disappear and have a men's club. And of course, Faber is hysterical. This is the way we treat women in shul. We put them behind the machitza. We place them in back in the shul. We don't let them participate. We don't let them be part of the shul. They don't have rituals. We treat them as the Flintstones and the Honeymooners treated their women, the Royal Order of the Buffaloes. Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. Do any of you go to mikvah once a month? Do you have are you members of a ladies group, sisterhood, call it what you wish, that takes care of the mikvah? Tell me, are you bakers? Do you bake cookies to give out the Tomchei Shabbos? There's a division of labor in life. We're different. God have mercy if men and women are going to be exactly the same. I don't want to be alive at a time when we lose the feminine mystique or the masculine gestalt or personality. God made us different. There are reasons why. There are reasons why. It's not a question of who's better. We're all, as the Rebbe used to say, every living human being has the breath of a Kaddish Baruch Hu in him, B'Tselem U'Demut. There's no difference between a man and a woman when it comes to spiritual value. But physically, psychologically, biologically, every possible concept of living and the ability to discharge these factors, men and women are different. And you can go on and on. Give so many examples. Thank God they're different. And I don't understand. We want women to come to shul 3 times a day? We want women to neglect their children? God have mercy on children who grow up that the mamishtein are langishmon esrei and the kids are jumping out of the crib. Trying to do. Men are men, women are women. All right, the Buffalo Club is the shul. Believe me, I daven every morning. I'm sitting here, Professor Slapnik sits here, Sam Dershowitz sits here. Been davening together 43 years. Mincha, I wind up in the shtiblach most of the time. Mara, if I run up the hill, it's fabulous view of Shulayim. I don't have the same davening in the same shul. Three different shuls every day. You want women to do that? I had a terrible incident this past Friday night. I realized what was wrong. A woman stopped us. I was walking back from the Kotel, surrounded by three students and one woman. Woman was married to my student. And a girl stopped the woman. The girl, you could hear a pronounced French accent. And the girl she stopped is an American who's here for 4 days. She came Thursday, she's going back today, came to see her parents who live here, etc. And then the girl realized these men are all standing around, and because of the language difficulty, it became a battle to speak. None of us spoke French. But broken English we could speak to her. Broken Hebrew. Yiddish was of no value. She looked a little bit dark.
It's always worth trying, Rebbe.
Never know. In your case, you had to hear what I said to Yosef Chaim before. In your case, it doesn't work. Your daughter was pure Ashkenaziya. Don't play games. Yosef Chaim has a schut from Maran Reb Avadya Yosef that the children turned out Baruch Hashem, a dot HaMizrach. Chaim Yosef, Ben Yosef Chaim. Ben, what's your father? Yosef Chaim or Chaim Yosef? Oh my gosh. Could you imagine Chaim Yosef, Ben Yosef Chaim, Ben Chaim Yosef? And imagine it continues down. They're smarter than we are. We have to wait. A person drops dead. You finally give a name. Here, B'chayav, you honor your father. If I had a choice, I would tell the Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to be born a Talmud of Maran, the Beit Yosef, period. L'chumra u'l'kula. Gentlemen, what are we doing? So that woman walked away. And then we realized she wanted to ask the lady where the mikveh is. And she was embarrassed that men were standing around. Okay, so now do an article against the women who are embarrassed to talk in front of the men. Baruch Hashem, we have benot Yisrael with a sense of sneer. And we felt very bad because the mikveh was right around the corner and she was walking up the hill the opposite way. And there was nothing we could do. She was already gone. Till we realized what had happened, I felt very bad. All Shabbat I was thinking. But what could we? I make a point when I come out of the shidduch, I cross the street. Can anyone tell me why I cross the street? Because I never walk past the mikveh. I never want to embarrass anyone. Whatever, you walk, you keep your eyes down. You have to be a ben Torah. Gentlemen, I want to tell you Rabbi Zeev Farber's article and all those that think like him, and there are many who think like him, including graduates of the Kollel. It is very frightening. It is taking Yiddishkeit and you're turning it into being a toshav, the standards of the New York Times, not the standards of Torah Hashem Tamima. And if there's any problem that the women are sitting in back, who says the women have to sit in back? I've been in many shuls where the mechitza goes down the center of the shul. The men are on one side, the women are on the other side. Baruch Hashem, they're not second-rate citizens. On the other hand, he complains here, I couldn't believe my eyes. This is what an Orthodox rabbi writes, that imagine we wait for 10 men to start davening. But even if they're 10 women, they count for nothing. This is mamish conservative Judaism. And one has to be able to present the picture of Torah, the difference between the sexes, the covered batamelech panima, and we have to present it in a beautiful fashion and concomitantly. There's nothing greater that God made than the attraction between man and woman. I lecture on this extensively. I gave you so many mikorot, so many maimarei chazal. You all know when God took away the sexual urge, chickens stopped laying eggs. Do I have to go any further? And this is mamish mishaset hakelef. Very, very frightening to me. What did you want to say, Yehoshua?
Wrote in 1925, I think in Pinkas Chet, you should check it out, that all of these critiques that you had in 1925, and back then it was even worse, where you had like men and women who were married sleeping with each other, different people, it was even worse back then. So, and he wrote that all these critiques that we have of...
And the kibbutzim who had that,
He said that they're useful, and they're good, because their critiques are accurate if that's what they think Judaism is. So their critiques are good in that it helps us refine our message to show what...
So you're saying what Rabbi Zeb Farber did here is good because it's giving me a chance to refine the message. I would be much happier to talk about this, the Buffalo Lodge.
Rav Cook,
believe me, Kvodogim Komomunach. We all bow before Rav Cook. But this is the reality today. 10 women. What are women have to do with Gotham? There's a division of labor here. How can they form a minion? Thank God they're not chayav. I'd hate to think what my children would have been if they didn't have a mother who was 24/7 devoted to them. Not that they appreciate it. Years later, they'll all find fault. That's part of life. I have to break Torah on that too. But I always say, when the children find fault with their parents, I always say, and let's see how your children turn out. And believe me, the more fault the children find with the parents, the more problems they have with the third generation. You'll see, it's Galgal Chozer Ba'olam. Okay. With that being said, and following what Nehemiah just said, to refine our position, I want to refine our position. I want to come into a problem that you're going to be hit with in outreach, rabbinate, chinuch. The world has changed. You don't need Aaron Rakefet to tell you the world has changed. The Chafetz Chaim says it. I quoted it in class years ago. I quoted again the Likutei Halacha to the whole Sugya in Sota, Daf Yutet, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Bet. The whole Sugya with Kol HaMalamei, the Titul Torah, Ki Ilu Limda Tiflut. That if you teach your daughter Torah, you're teaching her to be sexually indiscreet. I don't have time to go into it. If you want to hear a total analysis and all the sources, go back to my lectures. It's, I trust, among the 1,000+ tapes, 1,000+ shurim on the YU website. But the Chafetz Chaim already recognized, and he says this black and white, the world has changed. We have to start teaching our daughters Torah. If we don't teach them Torah, we're going to lose them. He describes how in previous generations, the father handed the daughter over to her husband, but today she goes to gymnasium, and her mind is filled with all this Western knowledge, and it can totally destroy her. I need not tell you that if the Chafetz Chaim already said this in his time, al achat kama v'kama in our time. The Rav echoed these words when he was criticized for teaching women in Maimonides, teaching them Gemara. I just want to find my next source. Be sure I have it. 1 second. I say Tensi. Okay, 1 second. I rearranged everything because I can't. Here it is. Tensi. So the Rav already said when he was criticized, if we don't teach them Gemara, they don't know. Says the Chafetz Chaim said they go to high school, today they go to university, they go to graduate school. They're PhDs. Certainly Tiflet that they learn. I quoted the Lubavitcher Rebbe, talking to the Belzer Rebbe, saying exactly the same thought that the Rav said, that the Chafetz Chaim said, and encouraging women to broaden their learning, their knowledge, their curriculum, etc. I showed you how even the Bata Yaakov changed over the generations. But a man has to remain a man. A man remains a woman. This is a very delicate question. Take a person who I know best, yours truly. I can learn around the clock. I can learn 7:24. I just pause, I'll eat, I have to sleep. That's it. It's the way we want our Talmidei Chachamim to be. The stories about the Vilna Gaon. Do we want women to be like that? And here I show you a source that's probably being quoted for the first time. I mentioned this in class. Rabbi Rubin will appreciate more than anyone because he knows the people involved. Those of you that have studied Chachmat Yisrael know that one of the most famous names in Chachmat Yisrael is Professor Avraham Weiss, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Professor Weiss, that's Professor Hanach Albeck's brother-in-law, if it means anything to you, was the ranking scientific Talmudist in Warsaw, where they opened a makon liyahadut to teach on a high level. He was one of the leading professors, member of the Judenrat afterwards, got out with miracles, reached America in 1940, gave up his ability to go to Israel so someone else could be saved because the American visas had names. And he was being saved by Yeshiva University that had appointed him a professor of Talmud. He later teaches for many decades at the Bernard Revel Graduate School. And by giving up his Israeli visa, which didn't have a name, it just said you could send so many Jews, other Jews were saved. His wife, Penina Kramer, who later becomes Penina Weiss, was one of the first women to study in the Machon Liyahadot, this new institution in Warsaw that taught on a very high level with a combination of traditional learning and scientific approach. Orthodox, but different than a yeshiva. And he married his student. She was 10, 12 years younger. Very great woman. And in America, many years later, in English, I got to know how brilliant this woman was. My wife grew up in her home. Her daughter, Ora, was one of my wife's best friends. I knew Moshe, the older brother. I knew Benji, the younger brother. All professors, all living in it. There's no one left in the United States. This woman wrote a memoir of the year, how they escaped from Hitler. 39:40 in perfect English. But what can you do? It's like my grandsons are mad at me. I wrote my Washington Avenue that the kids at Tuck are interested in. It's not the Rav, you have to be interested. Rakafaran, you have to be interested. Silver, Rebel, you have to be interested. Yitzchak, I got an email from Feldheim today. The letter is waiting for me. You understand what I just told you? The release. I can take it another step further. We are one step closer to publication. Back here. So the kids, her daughter, her only daughter, my friend, Yitzchak's friend, translated the memoir into Hebrew, was published for the family, Zichronot, 1939-1940. And here she describes how she went to school, how she studied, and her uncle came from a Hasidic family, much more traditional, and her uncle, who she was close, so close to, would come to visit her and speak with her about what she's studying in the Machon L'Mada'ei HaYahadut, that's what it was called. And she's studying and learning Gemara and Rambam, and finally her uncle, who she loved, and he would get angry and say to her, What's the good of all that you're learning? What kind of housewife are you going to be? And I quote page 104 from Zichronot, 1939-1940 by Penina Weiss. I quote, you'll give your husband the Rambam for breakfast? You'll give him a little bit Talmud for lunch? And you'll give a little Jewish history for supper? And this is what the heck is going to become of you? And he would get hysterical. What are you wasting your time? A woman should not be here. A woman has to learn how to run a house. Mali isha l'machon liyahadut and high-level learning. And she writes about this ongoing dialogue with her uncle.
He's a real male chauvinist.
No, he's not a male chauvinist. He's a realist. My dear students, this ongoing dialogue continues to this very moment, Yitzchak. These young rabbis are going to have to deal with this head on. Because look what's happened. You took a girl with the blessing of the Chafetz Chaim, with the blessing of Sarah Schneer, who had the approbation of the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Rokach. My wife descends from Belzer Chassidim. Her great-great-grandfather was the chazan for the Sa Shalom. When I walk into Belzer and I mention that, I'm immediately given a chair. My age has nothing to do with it. The yichas, otherwise, there are no chairs for anyone to sit on there. The place is mob. But that yich, the chazan for the Sa Shalom? Yeah, mein Frau is a nomen after Rebbe's Frau, is given Malka. What? You know that the Sa Shalom's wife was Malka? My wife is named Malka. Named after a different Malka, but ultimately it goes back to the Belzer Rebbetzin. Then I get a second chair to put my feet on. You understand? Okay. Gentlemen, so you took a woman, you started teaching her. Hey, tell me. You went to elementary school. You went to high school. You went to college. You went to graduate school. Daniel is in medical school. What percentage of the students are women?
More than 50%
are doctors, female. You go into Bernard Rebel graduate school today, I'm told the overwhelming majority of the school are women. Who am I to speak? My eldest daughter was working for a master's in English literature at Hebrew U, and she just had a big court case in her building because everyone was flimmed. One through the butt, they did him all the way to the based in Gadol Li'urim. Again, I've explained all these concepts, not for now. You have to deal with it halachically. What does this mean, an appeals court? Find me a source in Masechet Sanhedrin for an appeals court. Then she sees an ad. We're opening a new program for women. Women who know, these were the requirements, women who know how to learn a Daf Gemara on their own, women who have a bachelor's, and women who can bring two letters from Rabbanim that they are Shomra, Mitzvah, and Mitzvah. And this course will lead to women becoming rabbinic lawyers. Nope. My daughter was the first lady in the history of our people since what we're celebrating on Shavuot took place and Moshe came down from Maimon HaSinai to pass all the exams in Kosher Mishpat and Eben Ezra and get Hasmachar authorization from the chief rabbinate as a Toenv Rabbani, a female rabbinic wife. Alright, ladies, she went to Hebrew U law school. So she has both. She's a member of the bar and Baruch Hashem, big practice. All right. We open further. Then take me a little bit further. Nishmat. Women are embarrassed. Tova Lichtenstein, Dr. Tova Lichtenstein would tell me how her father would get in the mail or left in his mailbox envelopes with a plastic bag inside, with an aid bedika, and with a phone number, where to call. Nida, not Nida. Color of the blood, black, red, green. How do you paskin? Brown? The women are embarrassed. Going to go to a rabbi? I don't know. To me, it's I can understand the woman very well. The Gemara praises David HaMelech, the Gemara in Bracha, that he got his hands dirty by looking at Eitei B'dicha. Why can't a woman do it? Tell me, can a woman shecht? Can a woman be bodek? Can a woman kasha chickens? Absolutely. We find already Kitvei Kabbalah on women shochtot from Italy. Behema Gasa, it's not that she can't do it, it's simply physically too hard for a woman. See, that's the difference between a man and a woman. We have to understand the physical strength difference. Most women are not Amazons, but many men are Tarzans. No? Nishmat introduced the program of Yoatzat Halakha, woman studies for a number of years, pass six very difficult exams, and can answer She'elat of Nida, Maradam, terrible medical problems that come up. I don't have to go further than my own student, Dr. Dina Cohn. She's married to Sammy Zimmerman. My Talmud, Sammy Zimmerman. Dina wrote an article in Tradition on I don't want to spell it out, but a very difficult cancer and how it deals halakhically. And I have to say that article is the greatest article written on that topic. Dina's learning, her knowledge, she's been through Shas, etc. Her medical knowledge, her feminine intuition. So we've now turned them into Yoatzat. I once spoke in New York and I said, it's fine. And the wonderful, handsome man got up and married to a student of mine. Argument will continue the argument in Israel. I have to tell you, I got back to Israel. He's no longer alive. Died of, you know, these heart problems that no one knows about. It's congenital. And you go in a second suddenly in your mid-20s. I always regretted we never could finish the discussion. It was in West Hempstead. I remember it like yesterday. My Talmidah remarried, Baruch Hashem, a nice family. No, look where we've taken a woman. She can smoke in public. She can learn Gemara. She can be a Tohenet. She can be a Yoatzet Halacha. Why can't she be a rabbi? And you're going to have to face this. This is right now, here. You can imagine already if Zev Faber, whoever he is, I've never met him, but the Buffalo Syndrome. Why can't a woman be a rabbi? And here I want to tell you, and I want to go into a drop of detail. I'm just limited by time. We have to be able to stand b'fnei am v'eda and explain ourselves in dignity. In my humble opinion, the way to go is the title rabbi connotes that the rabbi can do all rabbinical functions. In the halachic system, a man and woman are different, and what they can do in the realm of halacha, each one has their circumscribed limitations. A man can go to mikveh from today to tomorrow and has absolutely no halachic status b'sman hazeh. The Rav once laughed at his talmidim. You know, he used to give a poke when he was sitting in Moria, and he's talking, should there be a Shia next week? It turned out that the Tuesday, a week later, was like Erev Yom Kippur or Erev Yom Kippur. And he said, oh, yeah, you're busy, you're going to mikveh. I says, it's changed, I don't go, Reb Chaim didn't go. And I remember the audience was shocked because a lot of chassidim used to come to his shiur. But you understand, mikveh is very nice. I go to mikveh twice a year. I don't know, I have the sons-in-law who go to mikveh a lot more than twice a year. But halakhically, a woman can't be a dayan. A woman cannot be a dayan. She's excluded. Whatever the reasons are, and there are many articles written in tradition, and we don't need reasons, as the Rav told us, this is the halakha, we surrender. Later we can try to attempt the rationale, but we have to understand that the rationale is limited to our meager understanding and concepts and the milieu and environment in which we find ourselves. But when you give a woman the title rabbi, I mean she can do everything. She can do a get. She can't. She can be an aid in the get. She can't. She can do every function like a rabbi. And this has to be stressed, that it is the title rabbi with what it implies that it is difficult. I envy Chabad. Chabad solved the problem. They have emissaries all over the world. There's now a TV series being done for the Israeli TV. My comrade Aya Liebman sent me a clipping on it. I don't watch TV. I just don't have time, and I can't watch the news. I stopped watching the news with Gush Katif because ain't a dumb shmiel ria to see what Jews can do to Jews. It was killing me. I use my TV. If I have time, I'll see a funny DVD, an episode of I Love Lucy. Okay, that's Baruch Hashem. That's my concept of TV. I just saw Malka Loves I Love Zoe last night. I love Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. Perfect. I'm looking forward one day to seeing the water buffaloes, to seeing the honeymooners again. I have that whole series. Oh, fabulous. Chabad? Many times the women are more than the men. He's a shaluach, and what is she called? A shlucha. They have a title. It's fabulous. They solve the problem. I think that Rabbi Weiss, who established Chovev Torah, this whole new movement, he may yet be a father of a new conservative Judaism and referred to in retrospect like Solomon Schechter. That's where I think he got the idea. Rav, Rabbah. Shaluach, Shlucha. But it didn't catch on because, once again, the implication is she can do everything. And it has to be explained the dignity. And if people start yelling, and why can't people do this and why can't women do this, we have to tell them this is the halachic system. And we surrender to the halachic system. And those are words that the Western mentality cannot tolerate. And we have to make clear to them, we cannot be westernized people. Totally. Only what we can accept halachically, hashkafically. There's another side to the coin that has to be stressed. Black and white. A woman is a woman, a man is a man. Thank God that men are men and women are women. And look up the Rav's testimony in Sanctity of the Synagogue in the famous Mount Clemens case, 1955, over the Mechitza. And in shul, it's a time where sexual tension should be minimized. Should be, as best as we can, abrogated. Nothing wrong with sexual tension, but there's a time and a place. A synagogue is a time for more purity. I don't want to elaborate. I've been in shuls and I've heard men talking to each other. There's a reason why some achronim hold that men and women shouldn't be able to see each other at davening. We don't paskin that way. But a mechitza, even if we accept Reb Meisher's shita, has to be noticeable, and if it's intelligently placed in a synagogue, the men and women on either side, it's very good. A woman getting up, giving a drasha, discharging rabbinical functions, the eternal feeling of sneered, that God put into this world, is offended. Now we have to make this clear. And we don't have to be ashamed. Thank God men are men. Thank God women are women. Quote the Medrash Rabbah that I quoted to you years ago. Lulei, if not for the fact of sexual tension, who would marry? Who would marry? What does marriage mean? You take a stranger, support her, let her boss you around. I told you yesterday, I came back from Machne Yehuda, was the happiest guy alive. My wife gave me a smack, brought me back to reality. You don't need me to tell you this. I once was talking with Rabbi Dr. Moshe, I better not say doctor, he'll be angry at me, Rabbi Moshe Meiselman. We know each other from the day one. So Rabbi Meiselman, we were talking about another Soloveitchik. And Moshe says to me, you know what the problem is with my cousin? He says, guys like you and me, we have terrific plans to save the Jewish world. Then we come home, and our wives smack us around and bring us back to reality. His wife doesn't know how to smack him. She just encourages him all the more. That's why he's the way he is. I said, Moshe, you hit the nail on the head. Gentlemen, women are women, men are men. Who wants to marry? Someone smack you around? Force you around? Give you a Rambam for breakfast? Gemara for lunch? Have children? What a pain in the neck to have a child. That's it. You never sleep. My wife says, it's a life sentence. You think only small? Kleine Kinder, kleine Problemen, große Kinder, große Problemen. No, you've heard that? You don't know what it means. Little children, little problems. Big children, big problems. When you reach my age, my children are smarter than me. My grandchildren are smarter than me. I'm lucky yet that my great-grandchildren don't think they're smarter than me. Baruch Hashem. And that day, Halavai should live to see it when they think they're smarter than me. Who marries? And we have to be upfront about it. And it's not apologetics. It's surrender to the Baruch Hashem. Now, in my opinion, and here I want to be very clear, there's a world of material I can give you. In my opinion, we shouldn't take the approach that women can't be rabbis because of Svara. Those of you who know what's going on in this world know that there was a tremendous machloket in the yeshiva, Reb Heschel Schechter, the students, Kenny Brander got involved. Svara is offensive to the modern mind, and I don't believe it's necessary here. First of all, what am I talking about, Svara? Hilchot Malachim Perek Aleph Halacha Hey. A little halacha in the Rambam that has engendered in modern times enough commentary to fill this entire building. Ein mamidim isha b'malchut shenema melech v'lo malka. Fine, it's based upon a sifri. Some to simulach a melech, melech v'lo malka. Ein, the Rambam adds, v'chol misimat shebi Yisrael, ein memanim ela ish. When it comes to srara, only a man, not a woman. A woman cannot exert authority in public. All right, you have questions? Tosfos already asked. No, you tell me. Devorah HaNeviah, Shofetet, He Shaftat Yisrael. But Tosfos gives an answer. Kiblu Aleihem, Horat Shah, whatever you wish. But I want to ask you a question. Is the rabbinate Srara? In my humble opinion, the rabbinate is light years away from the concept of srara. How would you translate srara? Power, kingdom, royalty, malchut. The rabbinate? Yeah. Don't want to mention a name. There's a Talmud sitting in this class. I don't want to mention the name of the rabbi. His eyes lit up when I quoted his shul rabbi a few weeks ago. The man was rabbi of this synagogue for time immemorial. Well, the Balabatan decided the rabbi's too old, got rid of him in a very indecorous fashion. And that's not the only example I know. I can tell you rabbis that build shuls from the ground and then they try to move their sons, and the aggravation they went through is indescribable. Don't want to mention names. I have unfortunately, every Shas, if I would remember Shas and Poskim like I remember Narishkeit, I'd be okay. But the Narishkeit, I do remember, Daniel. I can give you stories. Your hair will stand on edge. I want to tell the listeners, many of my Talmudim have hair, unlike the Rebbe, where Baruch Hashem, it has dissipated. Not only that, this is not apologetics. This is mamish the heart of halacha. There are two very famous shuvot on the rabbinate on Sfat Rav. I'm not going to go through them, but let me give you the sources. It's a nice challenge to do during the summer when you're finished with all your exams. Shelet Tshuvat Chatam Sofa Chelek Orechayim Tshuva Yud Bet. But the most important shuva ever written on the rabbinate is the Sach Tshuva. Shelet Tshuvat Avnei Neza by Rabbi Avraham Borenstein, the Sach Tshuva Rebbe. This is one of the great Talmidim of the Chatzker, if you know your history. And this is Tshuva Shin Yud Bet. I repeat, Shin Yud Bet. It's a little booklet unto itself, a tremendous contrast. But you talk about Srara, the Chatam Sofer has a tremendous chab. And these two shiva deal where a father dies and he wants to pass the rabbinate on, and it either goes to his son or his son-in-law, and the Balabatim are opposed, and they want to bring in a different rabbi, and how can you pass the rabbinate on, and does the rabbinate go with Yerusha? And the Chatam Sofer brings down a Meridik Medrash Rabbah. How Moshe Rabbeinu desperately wanted his sons to succeed him. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Yehoshua will succeed you because he set up the chairs in the Beit Medrash. Terrific chap from the Chatam Sofer. Chatam Sofer says, what do we see from here? Moshe Rabbeinu's sons were the equal of Yehoshua. Maybe they were better than Yehoshua. Maybe they were more learned than Yehoshua. But Yehoshua set the chairs up. Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Carried his Rebbe's books. Brought the Rebbe lunch. Gave the Rebbe a bottle of water. Set up the microphone. Recorded the Rebbe. The Shimush is greater. There's no Sarara. There's no inheritance here. It doesn't go by inheritance. It's not a king. It's who is ultimately more worthy, more worthy, more pasik, a Yiddish word, matim b'yavrit meduberet, for the rabbinate. It's a famous proof that the Chatam Sofer brings that the rabbinate is not Srara. Watch. Rav Heschel Schechter, and I wasn't there, I can only quote what was printed, setting the record straight, Rav Schechter's comments at the RCA convention, guest post by Rabbi Kenneth Brander. It seems Rav Heschel came out very strongly against women rabbis, and went on to declare that it's absolutely forbidden, even put it into the category of Yehoreg V'Al-Yavar, and asked it mainly because of Srara, and a woman can have no public position. Rav Heschel has spoken about this many times, and there was a tremendous outcry, because he compared it to Yehoreg V'Al-Yavar. Seems that afterwards, young rabbis approached Rav Schechter and evidently shouted at him, how come you teach in Yeshiva University where Geirim are students for Smicha? Just as women are enjoined from Srara, the same Rambam in Hilchot Malachim enjoins Geirim from Srara. How come? And it seems, again, I wasn't there, so I can only tell you what I can reconstruct from what's written here, that he disagrees, he would not allow Geirim in, he takes issue with Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Heschel says, they cannot go into the rabbinate, they have to be told, they have to do other things, but not the rabbinate per se, it's Srara. It evidently caused a tremendous machleket. My dear students, I want to tell you I would not go with Srara. First of all, with Geirim, I want to tell you, and we may have Geirim sitting here, it's very possible nowadays, Baruch Hashem, with the Baal Tshuva movement, and what I've said so many times, great-grandparents go to the Kisei HaKoved and plead with the Ribbono Shel Olam, let me have something left Jewish. We have many Geirim come back, there's no way to explain it. Baal Tshuva and Geirim and conversions, and you all know what goes on. Rav Heschel was interviewed by Mishpacha, and he said every year in the various Kolalim of the Ritz programs, there are five or more Geirim a year. Five. The Rav asked this very question, 1975. Do you remember when he spoke, why you rabbinic alumni? And he spoke about Hafkad Kedushin, and he went into the whole issue. How Shmayev Avtalyam could be the Nasi and Avbeitim if they were Geirim. Shmayev Avtalyam. We know clearly they were Geirim. And the Rav gave in the name of his Zayda, Chab Gehet from Tatna Numan from Zayda, I heard my father in the name of my grandfather, that when it comes to learning, anyone in the world who has learning, we have to listen to him. If they're the greatest Lamdanim, they're the Nasi, they're the Abbeitim. When it comes to the vault in Sanhedrin, where there it may be Srara, they exempt themselves. But Chas v'chalila to say that Shmaya v'Avtalyan could not be the Nasi v'Avbeitim, they were Gedole Yisrael. Now we have other examples among the Tanoim Amarayim, B'nai Banav, Shel Sisro, etc., Lamdu Torah B'vnei Brak. Chas v'chalila. The rabbinate Srara, Bizman Hazeh, there's no Sanhedrin, there's no vote, and even if there would be, they have to give forth their knowledge. I would not go with the issue of Srara. Yehoreg the Al Yavar, so Rabbi Brander explains what Rav Heschel meant, and I think what he was trying to say was we're fighting a crucial battle for Yahadut today. These individuals are trying to turn us into conservative Jewry. That's what he meant. Rabbi Brander gives an example of the Shabbos bus. He says, if we can accept these concepts, he says, people talk about a Shabbos bus. It would undermine all of Yahdut. This is what Rabbi Shechter meant, Yehoreg V'al Yavar. Well, Rabbi Shechter, I would think that Rabbi Brander is right, that this is uprooting basic Yiddishkeit. You can justify it from today to tomorrow, but you're turning us into the conservative Jews, and you have to have a sense of chush torani, emunat chachomim, call it what you wish. I don't want to call it das Torah, because there we run into the problem. It's not infallible. But more than that, and I want to go on record that mid-70s, Rabbi Manny Holzer related the following conversation to me. I realize you're a new generation. When I mention the name Rabbi Manny Holzer, Vayakam Dachada, Shaloya Dat Yosef, at Yosef Lo Yada, you don't know who Rabbi Manny Holzer was. He's not well today. Should have Refuah Shleima. He's out of it. Lo Aleinu. Manny Holzer was one of the greatest people I ever knew. He devoted his life to the Rav. He married into a family where there was real estate, whatever. So his hours were flexible. And he devoted his life to the Rav, and Manny was a fabulous, honest individual. And Manny told me that he was sitting with the Rav in his apartment, and a rabbi came in, and asked the Rav, can a woman hold positions in the synagogue? President, vice president, secretary, treasurer. And the Rav said, secretary and treasurer, absolutely. President and vice president, not. So Manny turned to the Rav and said, Rebbe, is the reason Srara? And, you know, president of the synagogue, this is like a king, royalty, Srara. And the Rav looked at Manny and said, what, are you crazy? Srara, a president? Who cares about a president? He said, but they have to make announcements during davening. And he said, that's not proper. That's not sniyut. That's not the way a synagogue should run. And secretary, treasurer, what's the problem? It's not that they get up in the middle of davening. They keep the books. They record the minutes. They'll do a better job than any man. So I have a tradition from Manny in the name of the Rav that it's not Srara. It is simply the title rabbi, the functions of the rabbi. We have to keep the male and female personality separate. And finally on this topic, I want to show you very fascinating booklet by my Talmud Mark Shapiro, Saul Lieberman and the Orthodox. And if you open up this book, on page 37, Mark produces the letter that Rabbi Liebman wrote to his colleagues on the Talmudic faculty of the secretary, including Rabbi Stimsatrovsky, Halivni Weiss, Rabbi Zlotnik. These are famous names. And the letter was written in 1979. And he deals with ordaining women, which had become a burning issue at the seminary. And he says, absolutely, you cannot ordain women. And the reason he gives, exactly the reason I gave you 10 minutes ago. The title, Rabbi Sof Davar Barur Min HaMekorot Shekriyat Hashem Rav Mochicha al kosha hora'av v'din, the ability to be a dayan, the ability to be a dut lekiyum davar. And a woman cannot do this. Ein lahasmich ota betoazeh v'afilu kumelitza bi'alma v'chol hanaseh tatsmenu v'al let's not make fools out of ourselves. And it's signed Shaul Lieberman. So you have Professor Lieberman, you have the Rav, everyone speaking the same language, and that's the way I would handle that issue. Lekavod ulitiferet. We're not going to win it all, not every battle, but we have to go to battle in dignity, and we can't compromise. Davar Hashem, zu halacha, etc. Let me go one step further and end off the year. Greatest problem the rabbinate and all of us who were zeichet to sit by Gedolei Yisrael. And I feel bad for you. You study with your teachers. Who are we? What are we? But we have one advantage. We at Sur Gedolei Yisrael. It's a tremendous advantage. We had great teachers. We had bridged the gap from Eastern Europe to the United States, and in my case, to Admat HaKodesh, the Holy Land. And here you are in an environment that I had a student in the Kollel who was also a medical doctor a number of years ago. He had payas in that, wonderful young man. And he once said, you cannot compare Einstein to Rietz. He says, here in the Kollel, everyone is trying to improve themselves and learning Musa and davening with Kavana and listening to Shayurim. And he says, medical doctors, you already feel the competition between them in medical school. The ethical striving, he says, doesn't exist. I think he even wrote an article about it. So you have to ask a simple question. You're leaving, you're going. Toronto already is a hotbed of Torah. There's plenty of, what can I tell you, plenty of anti-Torah sentiment there. Some of you are going to Albany. That's already upstate. Going to Florida. Boca, all right. I don't know, a little better there. How do you keep it alive? And I want to say, in my humble opinion, I just can tell you from my own life, I want to give three little eitzot. One, and the most important, is never forget what it was like to learn and be connected to Gedolei Yisrael. See, Gemara in Yerushalmi and Shkolim, I quote this Gemara in the introduction to the Rav. It's Yerushalmi Shkolim, give you the source, Perek Bet, subdivision Hey. Yerushalmi, they refer to many times. I was brought up, Perek Bet Halacha Hey. But not everyone calls it Halacha Hey. And it tells something. Rav Gidl, Oma, Ha'ome Shmuel Mishem Omro Yireb Baal Shmuel Kilo Omeid Lenegdo Shenema Af Bitzelem Yitchalech Ish. Whoever reports a rabbinic tradition in the name of his teacher must feel that his teacher is standing in front of him. This is in accordance with the description of the psalmist that man walks in the shadow of his teachers. And I want to tell you what always gave me encouragement. When I learned, I could see the Rav before my eyes. I was a kid again. When I do with a Rambam, when I have a chap, whether Rabbi Reuben likes it or doesn't like it, is immaterial. What is important is it's a chap. And maybe the Rav likes it. And in this case, I won, because Rav Moshe Soloveitchik came down on my side. Rabbi Reuben has not yet surrounded. All right, the debate will go on, the dialogue will continue. Old Chazon Lemoed. Nothing is better in life than being challenged. But the feeling, hold your Rebbe's picture in your office. Have a picture of the class. That beautiful picture that survives of my class with the Rav. You have no idea how much inspiration I've gotten out of that picture. Never forget that Yerushalmi I just quoted. And I can tell you, David Applebaum, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rabbi Dr. David Applebaum. There's only one David Applebaum. It's everyone acharei mot kadoshim. In David's case, his life was greater than anything. So when David came in Aliyah, he was working part-time in medicine, and he was going to Rabbi Gustman Sheyurim, Ramban Rechob Ben Ezra, the great Rabbi Yisrael Zev Gustman, whom I quote in Washington. Rabbi Gustman from Vilna, yet on the basement of Rabbi Chaim Isaac Grzynski. So I once says, David, you studied so many years with the Rav Soloveitchik. What do you find in Rabbi Gustman that is unique? And David answered, when Rabbi Gustman gives shir, Reb Chaim Meiser is on his right side and Reb Shimon Shkup is on his left side. Don't have to say an extra word, I said to David. Havinoti, I understand you. This is the most famous part of my work on the Rav, when I reproduce his talk at the Pigeon Haben, I believe it was, in the Windermere Hotel on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where he talks about his classroom. who walks into the classroom, who's sitting in the classroom, and it's a dialogue with his young American Talmidim, Reb Chaim Eisa, the Shach, the Taz, going back to the Rishonim. And this is Torah, this is Emunat Chachamim, this is Torah Shebal Peh, this is the Shalshalat HaKabbalah, this is our heritage, this is what we have to pass on. And don't become too big. You're going to be in areas where you may be the biggest Talmud Chacham for miles around. Big deal. As I told you more than once, if I wanted to be a Hasidic Rebbe, I even have a title, the Maplewood Rebbe. I built the first Orthodox shoe, Maplewood South Orange. What are you laughing at? To be a Rebbe, you have to have a title from Chutz Laaretz, the Belzer Rebbe, the Gerer Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Drushina Rebbe, the Biyana Rebbe, Baruch Hashem. The Maplewood Rebbe. It's the biggest Talmud Chacham in Maplewood. It's the biggest Tzaddik in Maplewood. The biggest Chassid in Maplewood. How many Shomer Shabbos Jews were there in Maplewood 1962? My wife, myself, Dr. Weinstein, maybe a few more. This keeps you humble. Think of your Rebbe and don't think you're changing the world with the buffaloes. Try to make the buffaloes understand Torah Tashem Tamima. That has to be the challenge. Secondly, and very important, and I'm a Litvak, all the singing in the world and all the clapping in the world, it's not going to keep you on a proper level. The Lubavitcher Rebbe sent two people into the college campuses, the early 50s. One was Shlomo Karbach. The other one, I don't even want to mention his name. What became of the other one, he's still alive, am I right?
Yes.
He's still alive.
All the Colorado.
Oh my gosh. God have mercy what became of him. Shlomo Karbach, there's a whole machlokes, a poskim, how you relate to him. But okay, Baruch Hashem, somehow he's won out. The only way you're going to keep firm and strong, you have to continue learning Torah. Without learning Torah, we lose the soul. We lose the heart. Who are we? What are we? The Reb once yelled at us. He said, if you get up and give a sermon and you don't quote a Maamar Chazal, you're no different than a conservative or a reform rabbi. He said, what makes us different? The yarmulke? Says, any reform rabbi can put a yarmulke on. But a Maamar Chazal. And many a graduate of the Kollel has said to me privately, I don't want to mention names again, when they finished up Smicha, they said, but we know so little. So I want to tell you, you have to block out time to learn. You're going to, again, I quote the Rav, but I said it myself, but I quote the Rav, I quote him in I believe I quote him in my book, actually. It was a talk he gave to the YURA in 55, 56. I quoted him in class. I redid that whole talk 20, 30 years ago. And the Rav, you're going to do things in the rabbinate. Everything is a mitzvah. Everything is important. You're going to help this one. You're going to help that one. Before you know it, you have no time to learn. And the only way you can learn, I told you in the army, I was very close to Chief Rab, to General Navon, Gad Navon, Chief Rabbi, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. His office was locked, 7:30 to 9. No one, only if the Prime Minister calling him or the Sar HaBitachon. He was sitting and learning. I know, I would have an appointment with them at 9 o'clock. I'm always there early. They bring me coffee, cake. I was treated like a king. No complaints. Ropi, Malchut, Srara. But his office didn't open till 9. And you want to know what you should do? Number one, you have to learn Mishnayot all the time. By learning Mishnayot, you go through Shash, you build up your diyot. Number two, you should take, to me, the greatest gift I ever bought myself was in the early 50s when the late Feldheim Institution, it's a shame what's happened there, but Feldheim published Shorim Mitzlingim B'Halakha. It's the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with Shelet and Shuvat, four volumes. It opens up your eyes to Psak. And I knew Rav Broin. He was an individual, didn't let anyone run him over. He was from my school of thought. I know his relatives today. I'm actually tie into them, related distantly. And it opens your eyes. You become confident. You have a world before you, where to turn, where to look, where to check. And, of course, you must continue learning Gemara, because Gemara is the... Once you lose the ability to handle a daf, Yazreini Yom, Yazreini Yazvecha. Once you lose that ability, Tazreini Yom, it's gone. You're not going to get it back. You're going to be totally dependent upon Schottenstein today. I was dependent as a kid upon. We used to have the Sansino. Today, of course, Schottenstein in Hebrew. Steindl's coming out with another edition now. They're coming out with the Daf like Vilna. It's coming out this week, as a matter of fact. All right. It's important. You're going to use a Schottenstein. Rabbi Yashiv uses a Schottenstein. You can imagine already in our generation, Baruch Hashem, it's not the same as 100 years ago. But you must keep learning. There, it's very hard for me to tell you to follow Daf Yomi, because I see students of mine learning Daf Yomi like they say Ashrei. I've seen with my own eyes. It's not learning. Could be what's more important is to establish an hour a day. I knock out for Gemara and Rashi and Tosfot, look up the Rambam, and then I'll look into Steindl, so I don't know Schottenstein, how they work, get a review of Achronim, but keep the pencil in the sharpener. Extremely important. And finally,
what's the name of the book that you have to fast?
Which
Rabbi Braun from New Jersey.
From Brooklyn, from Williamsburg. Sharim Mitzvinim Bahalacha. It's a Feldheim publication. It's gone through, I think, two or three editions. I have the first edition, the library down here. We have a later edition. And finally, I just want to tell you a third matter to keep you honest, to keep you humble. Take one chesed quietly, without publicity, and do it. What do I mean by a chesed? There might be an elder person who's ill, a survivor. Visit them once a week. Make it a kviat. Can be a kid who's challenged, struggling, good mind, physical disabilities. Adopt them. See him once, twice a week. Is busy. You know, this is not for public knowledge. This is for you. To be a mensch. To be a Jew. To keep your spirituality alive, to not let yourself be corrupted by the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, etc. Corruption comes easily. Gaiva comes easily. Keep the strings attached, the wires, the umbilical cord that takes you back to the generations before you and guarantees there'll be magnificent generations after you. And finally, I want to end off by continuing the few words I said yesterday. So what did we do today? What did we do? I hope I've been of help. These breaks my heart, the problems that some of you will face in isolation. I only hope you remain firm and strong and don't write buffalo articles. The women's feminist issue, we're living it. I have much more different Torah to say, but it's an ongoing process. We have to come out of it, and we will come out of it with Torah on top. But I worry along the way, Rabin Chalalim Hipila, and we've lost some very capable, good minds. These are all sheets of Chovevei Torah graduates, and some of their articles I've already seen, and it's shocking to me as someone who knew the Rav and then saw Gadlut and greatness and gave a toshav. And then we went in on a personal level, how can the rabbi keep himself spiritually alive, spiritually connected? And I can only tell you what I've done in my life. Certainly I can boast that when I learn, I can boast and tell you I'm such an idiot That one time I'm listening to a tape, I can tell you exactly, I don't want to go into detail now because it takes too much time, the Yarchei Kala, 1975, and I'm listening to the Rav so intensely that I talk back to the tape. I want to question the Rav, I'm talking to a tape. It took me a whole minute to realize, Ani, you're an idiot. You're talking to a tape. The Rav is not in the room. I'm proud of that story. Very, very important to that humility, which comes with doing a chesed, seeing other people in the world, seeing people who suffer. It does more for you than it does for them. Unfortunately, I live it daily. Some of you know that. And I don't want to talk about it publicly. Medaf sein mensch. And to keep by learning, of course, crucial. And yesterday we ended off the talk that what the Six-Day War did was a good talk yesterday, you have to hear it. What the Six-Day War did, it brought us back to the concept of Am Yisrael. And as you saw yesterday, you saw history before your eyes. Yosef Begun comes to Gruss and tells everyone how your Rebbe was his Rebbe. I didn't realize how he remembers every moment of January 1981 between jail sentences 2 and 3. Yosef opens a Gemara with me, as you've seen from Washington, how much it meant to him. And you see what I said yesterday, dashening the pasuk of all dim beretz shuvanidachim beretz Mitzrayim. The American wake-up had to come first, because we had to help the Russian Jew come back. And this is what I didn't say yesterday. I just wanted to be a little brief because you had all the women and children there. And I already had more than a half hour. Our helping Russian Jewry was ultimately a kapara for what we didn't do during World War II when we didn't realize that we're part of Am Yisrael. We didn't realize the koach of Am Yisrael. And this is what the Rav said, and I quoted in the Rav, and I heard Rebbe say it many times. We have to create a new al-chait to wear to the liturgy on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. Al-chait, I'm quoting the Rav now, al-chait shechatonu alfenecha, sheshamanu kol tzakat achenu, v'lo asinu dai, v'lo asinu maspik. And Baruch Hashem, we rose to the occasion in dignity. And that miracle of rebirth, American Jewry, Anglo Jewry, the Baal Tshuva movement, the identity of Am Yisrael, everything I spoke about, the Korban Pesach, and then to help the Russian Jews, you should know, Yosef Begun has children and grandchildren, Haredim, students who learned in Panovich from his earlier marriage. It's unbelievable. And finally, I want to give you a blessing with a little musr in it. I saw something amazing yesterday, and then I understood it. Wandered into the Beit Medrash. Yom Yerushalayim, 6 million Jews living in Israel, hundreds of thousands knocking on the doors to come in. 10 lost tribes waking up all over the world. You know that in 100 years there will be 100 million Jews. Al Admat HaKodesh. You'll have real problems with Shemitah and Trumat and Maestra. The right of Baruch Hashem. Jews all over. Tribes. It's a whole process. Read what's going on. And on this great day when beautiful youth is dancing to the kollel with Israeli flags wrapped around them, Ashrei Ayin Ra Kazot. It's a regular davening here. And at the end of davening, they start saying Hallel. I look at them. Hallel, end of davening. Disjointed. Not integrated. And then I realized where you are and where you should be. and where I hope you will be. That's what I spoke about yesterday. What did the Six-Day War do? It undid the Enlightenment. It undid Napoleon's Sanhedrin. It gave us back identity as Am Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael. Religion is not just a Western concept. I'm an American of the Protestant religion, of the Catholic religion, of the Buddhist religion, of the Jewish religion. And then I realize, in Chutz Laretz, you don't have it back entirely. Some of you have it back 10%, 20%, 30%. In Eretz Yisrael, we have it back. We're here. I'm Israel. 99% we have it back. Our children, our grandchildren, their values. Gentlemen, that's why you said hollow when you did. It was not integrated. It is not part and parcel of your existence, your breath, your destiny, your understanding. Yes, Yom Yerushalayim, you juxtapositioned it and you finished davening. Finished davening? Now we say a few maimori or pirkei teshuva. We who live here, right part of the davening, from Shmon Esrei to a joyous Hallel. My bracha to you is, Vayehi Hayom, that you should be able to say Hallel on Yom Yerushalayim, totally integrated with your prayers. A Jew as an individual, and a Jew as part of Klal Yisrael. 1 second. Before I give out the freebies, one has to bow his head to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not easy. You grow old even when you're in strength and health. You know what's around us. Modeni lefanecha Adonai Elohai Shesamte chalkimi yoshvei Beit HaMedrash Velo samte chalkimi yoshvei Kronot Shani mashkim v'chi mashkimim Ani mashkim l'divrei Torah v'chi mashkimim l'dvarim b'teilim Ani amel v'chi amelim Ani amel u'makabel scha V'chem amelim ve'enam mekablim scha. Ani rats v'chem ratsim. Ani rats l'chayei ha'olam haba v'chem ratsim l've'a shachat. Sh'ne'ema v'ata Elohim toridein l've'a shachat anshei damim u'mima lo yechetsu yimeihem v'ani eftach bach. So, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You've been such wonderful students. I want to share with you something that to me is hashgacha pratit, beyond words. Call it Das Torah. Received a beautiful letter from, must be a very intelligent woman, Mrs. Esti Steinmetz. It's the late, very famous Rabbi Sal Steinmetz's daughter-in-law. Sal Steinmetz, if you recall, when he died, he said, why you miss Machbita? I remember in my time, he was older, and he came to America, a teenager from Hungary. He was the greatest expert in the American language in the entire world. Every dictionary was edited or refers to him when they needed guidance, beyond words. So Mrs. Steinmetz, Etty, writes me a beautiful letter, how she understands me so well. I thank you, Etty, from the bottom of my heart. And then she says, I mentioned Triple S J in a lecture. So she says, I was just picking up papers from Triple S J sheets they used to give out. And she says, I'm sending it to you. Gentlemen, can anyone tell me who took this picture? Ilya Essas in Moscow, it appears in Washington. The voice you hear is the voice of the photographer. Okay, that's one. I couldn't believe. Here, this is the picture. Unfortunately, I didn't publish it. I should have, but I write about it in the text of Shimon Yantovsky in Leningrad coming and telling them about the KGB raid on the Talmud class in Moscow. Read my text, I describe the picture and the fear in their eyes. So could you imagine when I'm gearing up to speak to the Kollel about Am Yisrael and Yosef Begun is coming to visit me and Mrs. Eti Steinmetz, who I've never met, and she's listening to the Sheurim, beautiful letter. Evidently her father-in-law influenced her ability to write English. And I thank her, and she sends me pictures that I took in Moscow that I couldn't get publicity for. How could a Jew from Israel be in Moscow? So I gave them to SSSJ, and they publicized them. Freebies for Rabbi Rubin, for Dr. Lowenthal, please pass that on. Does anyone want the pictures of the graduates of Chovevei Torah? Until we meet again, in health and happiness, Das Vedanya, a wonderful Reish Chodesh, and a tremendous Chag HaNevuah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.